What's up, everybody? It's LG Doucette here. Today is March 15th, 2021. Welcome to the First Mint, a podcast where I cover marketplace trends, big sales, and everything going on with NBA Top Shot. It has been a long weekend on NBA Top Shot with the marketplace being up and down, open, not very fun, and no new packs since Friday's big airdrop. But lucky for you guys and for me, we do have a very interesting show. Today's agenda, we're going to talk about our latest contest, I guess you could call it, that we are running on Twitter. It's called Mint Madness. Then we're going to talk about the latest releases and the ones that might be coming up and a couple quick market updates. And then I'm going to talk about my strategies right now in the market and over the next couple weeks as a lot of new supply comes down the pipe. Also, then we have an awesome interview with Weir Kitty, a very interesting guest, someone who has been in NFTs for a very long time and in the Top Shot community since the very beginning. We are going to chat with her. I want to remind everybody here that none of the content on the show constitutes trading advice in any way, and that the show is not affiliated with NBA Top Shot, the NBA, or Dapper Labs. I'm just a guy at his house who loves basketball and blockchain. This is the First Mint. So, to keep us entertained over this weekend, myself and some of the other geniuses of the First Mint, or mainly, I have to say, mainly these other guys, have come up with an awesome challenge to run in the community, and it is already up and running. It's called Mint Madness Handles Hoopla. Basically, what we decided is that we wanted to do our own little bracket, very much like a very famous one that's going on right now or starting very soon. But instead of picking what would be the obvious choice in moments or a certain type of moment, we actually decided to turn that back around onto our community and celebrate those in our community, specifically those who have very interesting usernames in Top Shot. Last week, at the start of the week, we asked many of you on Twitter to give us your usernames in a form, and we didn't tell you what it was going to be for. And then we revealed on the Friday show that it was in fact going to be for a massive bracket challenge. And then over the weekend, we actually opened it up to more usernames, because we realized some people still want to get in, even though they missed on the first one. We gave them a little chance. Yesterday, Sunday, we had Selection Sunday with our four region heads, who were Greg Murray, Chugs and Bugs, The Real Phil D, and Amir Blumenfeld, who you may remember from the College Humor days, and more recently from his work at his own podcast network called HeadGum. He was there. He was our celebrity guest region picker. Those four guys did a one-hour special on YouTube where they picked their favorite usernames from the giant pool of names that we had. We had over 8,000 names sent in. Thank you to the community for contributing that much. We have whittled it down to 64, half of them chosen by our four guys, the other half chosen by randomization. So there are some randomized usernames in there. Today, we are running the first round of that challenge, meaning all 64 names are being pitted against one another, and tomorrow there will be only 32 left, and then the day after that, only 16, day after that, 8, and then on Friday, there will be the final four usernames. There are some amazing entries in there, especially some of the top seeds. One of my personal favorites is WenPax, as well as Top Shot Mom. Gotta go check it out. We are posting it on Twitter every day, all day. Go check it out. It's a good laugh, and we would definitely appreciate your votes. The final winning name will be receiving a Tyrese Haliburton rookie moment, as in a triple badge moment, currently worth like $1,200. That is going to come to the winner sometime very soon when the tournament concludes next week. If your name is in there, best of luck. Other stuff going around the community, not at the First Mint, but in general in Top Shot. On Friday, we finally received Release 21, which took 2 weeks since the pre-order to arrive. I think about 200,000 packs were distributed to the community, and I just want to give a round of applause to the Dapper team. I don't think we give them enough credit, even though things have been difficult. We don't give them enough credit. They airdropped over 200 packs, I think, about that, to over 200 accounts in like a 4-hour period on Friday. Have not seen anything like that get done so far. So congrats to them. Lots of people happy, some unhappy with what they got in those packs. It is what it is. Everything in there was a brand new moment. There were some that were recurring players who had a 1 out of 35,000 LE. Others were first moment players like Blake Griffin, 1 out of 12,000, and others were some of the brand new triple badge rookies, 1 of 4,000, each of those. Very awesome. Nice to see some fresh blood in the community, although it was kind of a bummer we couldn't buy and sell them too much over the weekend. They are now out there, and there are still plenty more of all of those moments coming up. Today, earlier in the day, there was the rumor that release 22 was imminent, which was billed as just a stress test, only 5,000 packs. If you're new, know that a stress test is really designed as that. It's meant to test out the system, usually in anticipation of potentially a bigger drop, but usually the Dapper team is using it to just see how the system performs in terms of everybody queuing up and getting ready. Also, looking at the list of moments in release 22 is very similar, if not labeled the same, as release 18, which also only had 5,000 packs, but also at one point was rumored to have 25,000 packs. What you're probably wondering is, what moments are in these stress test packs? And again, don't worry, it's not happening today. If you're listening to this on the Tuesday, keep an eye out, it might be happening then. Anyways, what's in these packs? It is all the older wave of Series 2 base moments, what I call Series 2.1 moments, the new stuff at Series 2.2. So we're talking things like the LeBron no-look three-pointer, a few of the original LaMelo balls, Halliburton's, that whole bag of stuff that came before the big LE switch from a few weeks ago. All that stuff going to be available in that stress test whenever it happens, and we don't know when it's going to happen. Next up, I want to very quickly talk about the marketplace updates. I know a lot of people have been frustrating by the marketplace either being shut down or being handcuffed to a 60-minute or 90-minute limit. I know it's annoying, and I know even last week I expressed some of my frustration, but I actually believe that this is a good approach from the Dapper side. It's a sober approach. It's not fun, but they are doing this with the sole intention of developing a very awesome product that is going to maintain its integrity, get rid of the bots, make it easy for people to buy things so that things don't get scooped up just as they're trying to buy them. They are trying to find that right balance, and in the end, it will benefit us, and it will also benefit all the people that are coming after us. Let's keep that in mind. Hopefully, we can get that marketplace back to normal in the next couple days, and maybe get those limits back down to a minute or two. Also, the bigger priority right now, I know from the Dapper team, is gifting. It has been disabled since, I think, almost 10 days ago. We have not been able to gift. I haven't been able to hand out raffle prizes from all the awesome raffles that we do. Hopefully, that's back really soon. And again, with that, the intent being that they are building a product that will last, hopefully, very long into the future. I think once these updates are done properly, hopefully, we don't see any more marketplace disruptions for at least a couple weeks, if not months, if not ever. Last, before we get to the awesome interview with Miss Weird Kitty, I'm going to talk about some of my strategies for the next couple weeks. I get asked this a lot, and I know that I often say on the show, hey, you know, this isn't financial advice. But again, now there is a lot of new supply out there, and I've had to take a couple days, honestly, in the last week, to think about what it is that I want to be buying and selling personally, because there is a lot of new stuff. I hold a lot of old stuff, both Series 2 and Series 1, and I've been kind of trying to think of what I need to get or don't need to get. So I'm going to give just a couple tips, just a couple things that I'm thinking about. And I just want to say that when I'm thinking about my strategy, I don't go on hunches. I don't go necessarily on players I like, although I've mentioned that before. I mainly base my strategy on facts. So these are assumptions based on facts and also experience. Number one fact, the market is incredibly reactive. And I don't mean this towards anybody, and I've definitely been incredibly reactive in the past. But the nature of Top Shot is that we see something on the market and we get excited or we get scared, and then we make an impulse decision. One of the things we know for an absolute fact within that reactivity is that the rookie badges are coming soon. It might be this week, it might be in a month, but we know that that is on the priority list and that it is coming very, very soon. When those rookie badges show up, it is very likely that many people who are on Top Shot who didn't know those were coming, or who knew they were coming, just kind of forgot, or they, even if they knew, will react and jump all over those. There's a lot of lists floating around on Twitter. Good job to everybody who's made those of which players are going to get those badges or not. But even knowing it is not the same as seeing it. As soon as these badges are applied, people will react very emotionally. Which players are getting 3 badges. Well, let's recap what those badges are. One is for rookie year. One is for minted in the rookie year, as in the moment was made during that player's rookie year, not after. And the third one is for the rookie's first game. In Series 2, there are really only about a dozen players who are getting that designation. They are all the rookies that are 4,000 limited edition LE. So Quickly, LaMelo, Tate, all those guys. In Series 1, there is only one player who is getting 3 badges, and that is RJ Barrett. His first game, there are 4 variants of it. It caught 4 sets, but that is the only one that is going to get the 3 badges. One very quick thing to note about those 4,000 limited edition rookies is that for many of them, especially the new ones, not nearly all of their supply is out. Even the ones that were in the first wave, like Quickly, Tate, Nora, only about 1,750 of their 4,000 moments are out for each one, so not even half. For the newer ones who were in Release 21, guys like McDaniels, McDermott, Tillman, Isaiah Stewart, Peyton Pritchard, only about 1/8 of their supply is out. So if you are looking at those to buy them, I don't know when those badges are going to come. Again, it could be any day, but know that not all their supply is out, meaning more is to come for all of them. And that also goes, and this is outside of the, you know, reactivity of the badges, but that supply issue also goes for any of the 35,000 CC plus moments, all the stuff that's just come out. All of those moments are roughly at about 6 or 7% of their final supply being out in the market. So even if it's a LeBron or whatever it is, that's the 35,000, know that there are so many more of those moments to come, and it is very likely that you will have many chances to get the packs that those moments are in. So keep that in mind if you're looking at them. Fact number 2, the market loves star players, and so do all of us. We've seen the market go all the way up and all the way down, then all the way back up, then all the way back down. It's been fluctuating, and that's normal, and it's going to keep doing that. I've noticed that every time it goes up and it comes back down, the stars, the true stars, go down just a little less than the rest of the market. And that's because there's more people that want to hold them. Personally, I like holding the stars. Out of everything that I've maybe sold in the last month and that everything I've bought, I've probably sold the least of the stars. Like, I've sold other players, but I haven't sold stars as much. And I've probably bought more of the stars than anything else I've bought. And I've also seen their value go up the most. When I talk about the stars, it is a very, very small group. Apologies to guys who are in the top 20, but not on this list. Guys like Lillard, Tatum, all those guys, they're not on this list of what I consider the true stars of Top Shot. Let's go through the tiers. And I've talked about this many times on the podcast. Go all the way back to episode 2 or 3, and you'll find a bit of a deeper dive there. The tiers. All alone at the top is LeBron. The bond of Top Shot, tried and true. You can never go wrong with an investment in LeBron. He will depreciate the least over time. In the next tier, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, as the guys that their legacies are pretty much complete. There's still plenty of basketball to play, but if they retire today, they are done. We know who they are as Hall of Famers. They are also very reliable price-wise on Top Shot. Also along with them are two of the most promising young stars, Luka Doncic and Zion Williamson. And that is largely based on the popularity of those players. Don't forget, Top Shot is a popularity game, not just a skill game. Popularity. So that second tier, KD, Steph, Luka, Zion, very reliable stars. And then two more guys after them, two guys that we expect a lot from and that many people expect a lot from that are very popular, Giannis Antetokounmpo, James Harden. That's it. Those, to me, are the most reliable stars that people seem to love and hold the most when the market fluctuates. Fact number 3, there are going to be many, many, many more moments, many of the same players that there are now. We're only halfway through the season, so there's still plenty of stuff to come. And then there's also going to be playoff moments from this year. I'll give you an example of a player where a lot of moments is having an impact. Damian Lillard. In Series 2, Commons alone, he's got 4 moments. He's a very popular guy. I love Damian Lillard. And his 4 moments really eat into each other. Many of them are the same. There's a 7,500, there's a 15,000, there's a now a 35,000. That 35,000 one, that's actually the most notable one. It's a game winner against, I forget which team, but it's awesome. Then there's also another comment. There is the 10,000 LE seeing stars moment, also for Damian Lillard. So over time, there's going to be more Damian Lillard moments, and there's already tons from Series 1 as well. So over time, how do you distinguish which ones are good? Totally. The scarcity plays a huge part. Absolutely. But so does the moment. Again, like I said, one of these is a buzzer beater. The best way to evaluate that as you collect moments of players that have multiple moments is to look at them and think, if you were a new collector, you didn't own any of these, you barely knew anything about Top Shot, which one of these would you actually want if you are a huge diehard Damian Lillard fan? Another player that's an example, LaMelo Ball. For a long time, he had one of the hottest moments in Top Shot for a common. His 4,000 limited edition just kept climbing. We couldn't believe it when it got to $200, then $600, then $900. Now it sits steady at like $3,000. And even when that moment was climbing, the Cool Cats Master Challenge, for which he is the reward, was announced, and it didn't affect the price, even though people knew that there was going to be a LaMelo at the end of a long challenge. If anything, it probably boosted the price because that extra one for the Master Challenge is going to be hard to get. But what's happened since then? This is the part we didn't expect. This is where you need to think a little bit further ahead in Top Shot. Since that first moment came out, up until when the Master Challenge one comes out, there will be like two or three more LaMelo moments added, including potentially a legendary. I don't know for a fact there's going to be a LaMelo legendary. We don't know what's in the next legendary set. Out of all those, how do you decide which one is worth the most? I don't know, but the market might. And there's only one of all those moments that is going to have three badges. Next up, you're going to hear my interview with our guest, one of the OGs of the community, Weird Kitty. She lives in Norway, and she has been in crypto for a very long time. She came in through CryptoKitties, like many people in Top Shot from the OG crew. They came in through that project. She's not the biggest basketball fan, but she is an avid collector, and she is a very important community builder in the space, working primarily right now on projects like Avastars. Have a listen. All right, everybody, we are on with Weird Kitty, who is also one of the OGs of NBA Top Shot, but also a very avid NFT collector. So today we're going to learn about her Top Shot collection as well as the NFT space overall. Weird Kitty, it's great to have you on the First Mint podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting me. Well, I'm looking forward to questions. This will be my first podcast, so I'm not used to speak much in public. This will be interesting.
That's all good. That's all good. All the more reason to, you know, to have you on the show. Let's start with some easy ones. How did you get into Top Shot? How did this happen?
Well, I've been playing CryptoKitties since December 2017. I've been hanging around with Dapper since, it's almost 3.5 years now. So I started out playing regularly, and then I was added as a moderator on the CryptoKitties Discord in November 2018. And when the Top Shot Discord was made, they just transferred us all the CryptoKitties mods just to look after that very empty room for several months. When the beta finally started, I was around. And I had to try this. So one of the product managers in Top Shot, Alan, has been a product manager also with CryptoKitties before he left for Top Shot. And I felt like, what? Alan is leaving CryptoKitties for something else? That was something that I never imagined happened. So I had to check out what's exciting enough for Alan to leave the kitties alone and go over to something else. So I had to try and buy this stuff. And I was also very curious about the new blockchain. The thought about trying a product, the first product on a completely unlaunched blockchain, that was intriguing. It was interesting to be in it from the start. That's an opportunity that is not coming very often. I had to be a part of it.
That is amazing. It was like the sign when you saw that Alan was moving to something else that you should maybe look at it as well. I love that. Are you a big NBA or basketball fan?
I'm not. I learned a lot of new names the last half year, to say it that way. I remember then when I grew up, it was Michael Jordan that everyone was talking about. I know what the basketball is, but my knowledge started like that. But I'm looking forward to the UFC because I think I used to be following MMA when I was younger, so that will be fun.
What sports? Okay, I have to ask now. If you used to follow MMA and but you didn't follow basketball, like what sports do you follow in general?
When I grew up, it was skiing on the television, and well, my brother followed soccer, so I had to. Well, I'm a husband too, so I have to have said seen some matches there that I wasn't very interested in. And well, sky jumping, snooker, and curling. That's kind of fun.
Wait, do you do any
No,
curling? Are you a
I haven't.
curler? Okay.
I'm not good at sport.
That's okay. I feel like curling is a place where our countries actually compete. I feel like Canada and Norway are actually good, both good at curling, and that's a place where they actually meet
Yeah,
internationally.
I started watching curling when the Norwegian team had those pants that were well, the pants,
Those
those
pants?
pants, they were all the headlines everywhere.
Oh.
Maybe it's already 15 years.
Got it. Oh,
Maybe it's
wow. Oh, I'm just looking at it
yeah.
now. Oh my God. That's amazing.
So it was a sport that no one in Norway had ever even heard about. I hadn't heard about it either before they went and went on television with those pants. So
You're amazing. Oh, congratulations on the Norwegian curling pants. That's great. If you hadn't looked into basketball much
yes.
before, and even now you don't follow it that much, through Top Shot, who would you say your favorite players have become?
I like the series one LeBron moments that I have. I have one of the bass and one of the metallic golds. I think I will want to hang on to those. They're nice too. They're a nice memory of being there in the first year.
How do you know then how to manage your Topshot account? How do you know what to buy or to sell?
I usually don't buy and sell very much. I had probably half my account was base moments that I had listed last year for $1 or something. So that was a lot of happy collectors joining in January that could that had a good time scoping up those. After that, I usually buy in sometimes if I want to compete in a challenge. I buy some of the more, well, the top five players sometimes. If I see something that looks underpriced, if everyone is selling, then it's usually some good steals on the market. So
What other NFTs are you into?
let me check my OpenSea
I would assume your OpenSea account is also has a lot of stuff
yes.
in it.
Well, last week it's been mostly Avatars because they restarted the scrolling and we finished off series three of Generation One.
Hold on. You got to rewind. What is Avastars?
Avatars is a generative art. You scroll through pictures that are generated randomly, and then you can pick them and decide who to mint. The art is SVG was loaded up on the blockchain, Ethereum blockchain, last year. So each piece of art is loaded on the blockchain. And when you scroll through on the website, the website is using those pieces of SVG and it's randomly combining them into male or female avatars. And that what traits are available that worries. Varies with each series. It's the art that is available now is Generation One. You find what you like, and then you can use the traits from the avatars you own to mint a new replicant.
I'll be honest with you. I do know about Avastars, and I tried very hard during the Meta Olympics and that whole Token Smart era through the fall to do the Twitter contests, where you had to like describe who the Avastar was to try and win, and I never got close to winning, but I tried. I just want you to know I tried really hard.
Yeah, I've been so into it now. So it's the thing is that I've been with the Avastar project since the early beginning. I'm an official advisor on the project.
When you have all these NFTs, is your intention to sell any of them at some point, or you just have them for their utility and you play in the games? Like what is kind of like the short and long term plan with all of these?
Well, with the CryptoKitties, in the beginning I was only playing CryptoKitties, and I was very focused that I was going to have this a good collection. And in the beginning, my plan was to breed the CryptoKitties fur, Norwegian forest, and be a collector based on that fur. Then the game kind of changed, and it was mostly focused on fancy hunts. I teamed up with other Norwegian forest hunters, Norwegian forest fur collectors, to hunt fancy, so we could collect more of the Norwegian forest furs cats. But the original plan was to be able to play the game so we could keep playing without adding more funds and hopefully earn something on it. Games always changes a bit, and the blockchain has changed a lot during the last 3.5 years too.
How have NFTs changed your life?
It's been fun. It's been very time consuming to keep up with everything. And it has paid off, like what happened in January when everything exploded. Like we were not, at least I was not prepared for that happening. I'm going to work full time with NFTs after Easter. So because I figured out that this is too much to be a hobby anymore, because it takes too much time, and I'm going to have a social life again in a few months, hopefully. So I can't keep up.
I support your decision, absolutely.
So it's the NFT community has been very open. It's very international. Friends for all from all over the world, all time zones. A lot of very intelligent, very skilled people that are into this environment. So it's like there's always someone that I look up to that I want to be as good as that person. I can be better here, I can be better there, I can learn this, I can learn this. And it's so interesting to talk with that person and that person, that person, that person, and so on.
You already kind of covered this, but if you can give us like two pieces of advice for anybody who's new to NFTs, maybe people who have Top Shot, but are looking to, you know, get into other NFT projects and they're not really sure where to start. What are two pieces of advice for those people?
Don't spend more than you can afford to lose, because even if the project stays around, it's not, it's possible that you will never be able to sell for what you bought it for. So just be sure that you only spend money you can afford to lose, and only buy the things you want to keep.
Why do you call yourself Weird Kitty? Why did you choose that?
Well, that's a lot of personal reasons. Like, it is the duality nature. It was a bit of a punch to myself about my nature, that nice and looking completely harmless until really provoked.
Nice. Okay. Now we're going to play a game. Yep. And I'm going to give you two options, and you have to tell me which one you would take out of the two options.
Okay.
Would you rather LeBron James comes to your house and you guys make him an Avastar? Or would you rather that you have the one of one of Norway curling pants?
Well, I guess it would be more interesting to meet a star basketball player than own a pair of pants, even if the pattern is psychedelic.
That's fair. Yeah, I agree with you. I think you made a good choice there. Okay, awesome. Well, it's been great to have you on the
thank
show.
Thank you. Thanks for chat.
And that is going to do it for the show today, folks. Thank you for listening. Let's hope we get some packs soon. Let's hope we can do some gifting soon and all get back to the collecting that we love. Hit us up on Twitter at the First Mint. I do my best to respond to everybody in a timely manner. Otherwise, keep an eye out for Wednesday on our next podcast. We have a very special guest lined up. Otherwise, good luck out there on Top Shot.